Hey, good morning. Morning. Happy summer to you. Is it hot enough out there for you? Yeah, not yet. Okay, well, it's coming. Don't worry, it's coming. It'll be here this week. Good morning to all of you and all of you over in the community center as well. My name is Brent. I'm one of the teaching pastors here. It's my privilege to bring the message to you this morning. And as we start a brand new series for the summer called Wise Up, Lessons from Proverbs. Lessons from Proverbs. As we begin the series, would you just join me in a word of prayer as we go to opening this series up. Father God, thank you for this time that we could gather. I pray that you would use me. I pray that you would use this series throughout the summer, that you would open our hearts, our minds, that you would open your word to us, that we would understand, that we would be changed, that we would find wisdom in you, that we would apply that to our lives. And we thank you for it, and we look forward to what you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to begin this morning by asking the eternal question that everybody asks: why do people do dumb things? You ever wonder about that? I mean, sometimes we humans can be pretty amazing. There's literally a book called The 176 Stupidest Things Ever Done. There's some pretty amazing and hilarious things in there, but let me just share a couple of them with you. There's a guy named R.V. Dartnell from Louisiana who was foiled in his robbery attempt because he forgot to cut holes in the black plastic garbage bag he was using as a disguise. Now, that's pretty stupid. There was another thief, though, Bob Coleman, who had a slightly different problem. He could see through his plastic garbage bag disguise, but so could everybody else because he used a transparent one. And finally, there was one more example, a man in Portland, Maine. He was arrested for driving a classic Thunderbird car with a TV set welded to the hood because he was watching sports while he was driving. I guess he didn't own an iPhone like the rest of us. I know that we all do some dumb and rather stupid things. We do those things and they mess up our lives. Sometimes they mess it up just for a moment, and sometimes they mess it up for a much longer period of time. I remember there was a time when I had to take a mailbox off of the post. And this was back in the day when they actually had mailboxes out by the street. Remember those days? Yeah, some of you do. I remember that I had to go out and I wanted to take this off, and I thought, well, I could just hit it from underneath and knock the mailbox off. Little did I know that there was a nail sticking out down there, and I went, yeah, and that lasted in my hand for a little while. Had to go get a tetanus shot. In fact, I want to ask you this morning, I'm just going to take a quick poll. Raise your hand if you have ever done anything really dumb. Oh, look at all those hands go up. We are in really good company. We all do dumb stuff, and that means we're going to need this series. The series is going to be for all of us, for we are all going to need to wise up. This is our new series, Lessons from the Book of Proverbs. Now, Proverbs is basically all about how not to make a fool out of yourself. But really, it's about a whole lot more than that, for it is about the art and the skill of wisdom. And we all need wisdom to know how to live and to not make a mess of our lives. Now, I got so excited studying for this series that, like Matt last week, if you remember, Matt showed you his tattoo that he got after realizing that there was this invisible spiritual battle going on all around him that he didn't know, and that God had given him these spiritual weapons for his battle. So Matt put up this tattoo on his arm. And I got so excited that I went out too and I got a tattoo to constantly remind me that I need wisdom. And there should be a see, it's right there. I got my tattoo right here on my arm. Constant reminder to remind me to wise up. I'm not sure how wise that was, but now I'm really with it, I guess. Proverbs is all about wisdom, and wisdom is all about the skill of living. What do I mean by that? Well, as Tim Keller, a pastor in New York, has said, he says, we live in a pluralistic society. And in a pluralistic society, people are always fighting about morality. That is, they're always fighting about the different senses that there is between right and wrong. What is right and what is wrong? But we also live in a very scientific society. And so everybody's always fighting over what is true. And so we tend to value things like research and knowledge over and above almost anything else. And so in our society, We tend to find about what is right and what is true. We tend to think about these two things, moral principles on the one hand and scientific knowledge on the other hand, as basically the answer to any questions that we have, any dilemma, any situation that we get ourselves into, that these, one of these two or both answer all of life's questions. But the problem is that just isn't true. It's just not true. Moral standards, as crucial as they are, actually don't address many of the situations that we will face in life. Whatever you think the rules are, the vast majority of the situations that you may face in life actually aren't covered by all the rules. And there is a lot in life's key decisions where more and more knowledge is simply not going to help very much either. If you're not going to make a mess of your life, you need something that is hardly ever talked about these days. And it's not identical to morality, although it's close. It's not identical to knowledge, although it's close. And they kind of both overlap, and that is this. And what we need is wisdom. Wisdom. If you're going to make a life for yourself that is constantly making messes of everything, then you will need to find and grow in wisdom. And that is what Proverbs is all about. For example, it is good and it is moral to help poor people. Would you agree? Right. You can do it completely ethically, and yet you can still ruin their lives because you might not be doing it wisely. And you can give lectures filled with all kinds of knowledge about poverty and still leave the poor unhelped because you might not be acting wisely. You can be a person of both high IQ and high moral standards, totally righteous and totally knowledgeable, and yet you can still screw up your life and screw up the life of other people that might be around you and alienate people from around you because you might not be wise. Think of some of the major decisions that you face in life, all throughout your life. Things like, should I date that person? Should I marry that person? Should I confront that person, or should I just leave it alone and let it go? Should I take the risk, or should I just kind of withhold and hold back and play it safe? And yet you realize that any of these decisions, and many like them, that any one of them could end up in a disaster. So how do you decide? And think of all the thousands of small decisions that we make every day, decisions that could lead to success or to disaster. What should I do today? Should I do this or should I do that? Should I go here or should I go there? Should I meet with this person or should I meet with that person or should I meet with no person? What even should we have for dinner tonight? How do I handle the kids? All kinds of questions. How do you decide? See, I believe we live in an era where scientists are kind of the priest of the day. They seem to think that knowledge is the answer to all of life's problems. And of course, knowledge is extremely important. But more knowledge is not necessarily going to answer definitively any of those situations that I just mentioned. Knowledge is crucial. And it gives you information upon which you will make decisions. But it cannot tell you what to do. And there are churches and others all throughout the country, we have a lot of people who think morality, that's the answer to everything. And of course, morality is crucially important. But it is not enough in some of the situations, again, that I just mentioned. You can be completely convinced that you are right morally, that you are right theologically, and you can still mess up the whole situation because you may not be wise. In fact, I want to suggest to you this morning that perhaps the reason that you may be struggling in your life, the reason that you may have some of that kind of uneasy, disoriented feeling about your life may be that in your situation, you don't have the wisdom for it. That may be the problem. And you keep spinning your wheels. Because you keep analyzing your situation and analyzing your situation, and desperately you keep trying to get more knowledge, and desperately you keep trying to see if this is right or if this is wrong morally, and you're piling up data on either side of that diagram. But the problem is not knowledge, and the problem is not morality. The problem is that you don't know how to get wisdom that you will need to deal with your current situation. I have to tell you, one of the reasons that I really wanted to do this series is that I see Christians, I see people all day long, young and old, I see people all the time making what the Bible calls foolish decisions. I hear about it all the time. Sometimes it's the right information, but the wrong attitude. Sometimes it's the right attitude, but the wrong information. Sometimes it's a right moral choice, but it's the wrong timing. And sometimes it's the right timing, but it's the wrong moral choice. Sometimes it's a right action, but for the wrong reason. And sometimes it's the right reason, but it's the wrong action. And you may be right morally, but that does not give you the power to manipulate or to control another person. And you may have all the correct knowledge and information about something, but that does not give you the right to make decisions for anybody else. You may have all the knowledge, you may be on the right side of the moral question, but you can still mess up your life and the lives of others if you do not have wisdom for any given situation. You can tell the total truth and you can do it morally, but still not be wise in how you do it. For example, why do people make foolish financial decisions? Why do people walk into marriages that are doomed from the start? Why do people start habits that they know eventually are going to kill them? Why do people take more on in their schedule than they can handle? Why do people buy things they don't need with money they don't have to impress people they don't even like? Why do people have an affair and think it won't matter? Why do people fail to prepare for death when they know it is inevitable? Why do people put off accepting Christ when he offers them such tremendous benefits and they know it? Proverbs sums up the answer to all of these questions with one answer in one phrase: a lack of wisdom. And when you lack wisdom, you will make dumb decisions and you will pay the results. Deciding what to do in your life is not just about what is right and what is wrong. It's about what is wise or unwise. And it feels like to me in our culture, in our society, that we're kind of perishing these days for lack of wisdom. We're starving for wisdom. Because you see, when you're wise, your relationships will run more smoothly. And so many of them are not. When you're wise, your experience at work will be so much better, and it's not. And when you're wise, you'll tend to have a higher sense of security, and we don't. And wisdom is what really makes the difference. Perfect, no. But better, absolutely. And so it's time. It's time to wise up. It is my prayer that as we go through Proverbs this summer, that you will make the pursuit of wisdom an active part of your life, and that you will find or that you will renew your desire to consume God's Word. It will be a great time this summer of study, and you'll have an opportunity to even read through Proverbs a couple of times over the course of our time together, and I'll explain that in just a little bit. So I want to share with you this morning three things. I want to share with you the importance of wisdom, the definition of wisdom, and becoming wise. How do we become wise? Now, I'm going to be putting a lot of passages up on the screen, and you may be able to read them. And as I'm going to move from passage to passage, let me encourage you not to try to keep up by keep turning the pages and trying to find it on your iPad. Let me encourage you, go ahead and you can just read it on the screen and listen as we run through a variety of passages. We look kind of a variety, mostly through Proverbs chapter 1 through chapter 9. Most of Proverbs was written by Solomon, who was given a chance by God one day to ask anything he wanted. And because he asked for wisdom, God granted it, but he gave him everything else as well. So Solomon wrote these Proverbs, wrote this book. It says at the very beginning, chapter 1, it says, to know wisdom and to become wise in how we live. And then we read in chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, we read this. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. In other words, wisdom comes from God, and it becomes a shield to us. It guards and it watches over our lives. Then we read in chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. And then in chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, we read, the beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Praise her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. As we read through those passages, let me have you notice that in Proverbs, wisdom is personified as a beautiful woman who brings to you, through a relationship with her, a gain or a benefit that is far better than anything else, far better than that of silver or gold, is more precious than jewels, and nothing you can desire can compare with the riches and the honor and the pleasantness and the peace and the blessing that wisdom, that she brings to you. And they tell us, whatever you get wisdom and get insight. Prize her highly, and you will be exalted and you will be honored. And then we read in chapter 8, verses 10 and 11, this woman wisdom says, take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. I want you to listen to the progression there. More important than silver, more important than gold, more important than jewels, than anything you can possibly imagine. In other words, wisdom is infinitely more important than all the power, all the fame, all the talent in the world, because there are a lot of people out there that have a lot of money and they have a lot of talent and a lot of power and a lot of fame and a lot of skill, and they have gone nowhere and made a mess of their lives. And there's others who have very little of all of those things, and yet they have done very well and made good out of their lives. What's the difference? The difference is wisdom. We just read in 3, 16 through 18 that there were some benefits of gaining wisdom. Notice that all of these things that are benefits from gaining wisdom are the things that we go after for our lives all the time anyway. They are things like long life and riches and pleasure and peace and blessing. God says all of those benefits are wrapped up in wisdom. For example, long life. I read that in some insurance actuary report that it said that people who join a church and attend weekly live an average of 6.7 years longer than the rest of the population. You see, just by being here, you're extending your lifespan. Don't you even feel healthier today? Just from being here. Why would that be true? Because when you're wise, it reduces the stress in your life. You have healthier habits. You get involved in fewer accidents because you do wise things, so you tend to live longer. And riches. How would you like to have God as your financial planner? All things being equal, a wise person is simply going to have more. Why? Because they don't squander it with unwise decisions. Honor. How does wisdom bring honor? Simple, because you just don't put your foot in your mouth as often. And you know the right thing to do in any given situation. Pleasure. Living according to God's wisdom makes life easier. Most of the problems that you have in your life, we have in our lives, are because we bring them on ourselves with our dumb decisions. See, when you're wise, it eliminates a lot of the problems that we would normally bring on our life. Life just tends to get more pleasant with wisdom. Peace. Wisdom gets a sense of security and peace of mind. Because now you're in control of a situation. You're not a reactor, you are an actor. Things don't control you, but you control them when you are wise. And that you are blessed. It says that those who become wise will be blessed. See, wisdom is unbelievably important. It's absolutely huge. Why? Because wisdom is more important than anything. Wisdom is more important than anything. There's another reason why it is so important. And so we read in chapter 1, 32 and 33, it says this, "For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster." See, without wisdom, we are destroyed. We also read in Proverbs 13, verse 14, "The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death." And we read in Proverbs 14, verse 12, and in verse 27, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death." Wisdom is important, not only because it's more important than anything, but because it is literally a matter of life and death. It is literally a matter of life and death. The importance of wisdom, but now let's turn to the definition of wisdom. We read in chapter 1, verses 2 through 6, says that these are the Proverbs of Solomon that are given to do what? For us to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. Some of these are the exact same words that are again used then in chapter 8, verse 12 and verse 14, where this woman wisdom says, "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. I have counsel, and I have sound wisdom. I have insight, and I have strength." And there are some great clues here about wisdom. For example, the word insight is from a Hebrew word meaning to kind of know how things really work, how things really happen. And then the word prudence. Literally the word prudence in Hebrew also means to notice little distinctions, knowing how things really are. I don't know about you, but I have enjoyed some of the movies and TV shows about Sherlock Holmes. And if Sherlock Holmes and I were kind of walk into a room and we were see often nothing but a mess, it is Sherlock Holmes who would look at all of that stuff and he would just see the distinctiveness and the details. And all I would see is a mess. And as he noticed the little distinctions, he'd be able to put two and two together and identify what really happened. That's the idea here with prudence. And then in verse 15, we read that by me kings reign and rulers decree what is just. And so here, wisdom is associated with just actions and with ruling. So wisdom involves not only knowing how things really work, how things really are, but knowing what to do about it. And so that's the definition of wisdom. Wisdom is knowing how things work, knowing how things really are, and knowing what to do about it. That's wisdom. It's basically knowing life for what it really is. There's a German Lutheran theologian and pastor by the name of Gerhard von Rad. And he summarized wisdom like this. He said, wisdom is becoming competent with regards to the realities of life. Wisdom is becoming competent with regard to the realities of life. You see, people want so desperately to be right. And then when they see something that is not right, they desperately want to set it right. And if they see somebody else that is not right, they typically tend to want to set them right too. But wisdom is knowing how to be right in the right manner at the right time. Knowing how things really are, knowing how things really work, and knowing what to do about it. And so third, let's look at how we become wise. Become wise. See, we need to remember that Proverbs is poetry. It's called wisdom poetry. And so we have to read it like a poem. And as I mentioned earlier, one of the metaphors used for wisdom is this beautiful woman. Wisdom is personified as a beautiful, appealing woman throughout the whole book. And so we read in chapter 9, verses 1, basically 1 through 5, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine that I have mixed. But it's interesting because Proverbs also says that foolishness is like a seductive woman. So we read in Proverbs chapter 9, verses 13 through 18, that the woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let them turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. See, usually when we think of wisdom, we tend to think of stern Puritans and drill sergeants and list of do's and don'ts, but not here. Here, wisdom is personified as a beautiful, alluring woman who invites you to a relationship with her. And why does Proverbs portray wisdom as a woman? Well, we've got to understand that Proverbs was probably used as a manual in Hebrew schools to train young men. And so wisdom then became portrayed as a woman who offers you great food and wine. And that's brilliant, for that's if that was their audience. And it was this woman that was going to allure you with life, or there was the seductive one that was going to lure you to death. Seeing the idea is that one will bring you life, one will bring you death. And they, as well as we, would be encouraged to spend time with woman wisdom, not folly, to be charmed by her, to make friends with her, to love her, and to flee and to run from woman folly. And so you may be sitting there, you may be saying to yourself, okay, that's great, that's poetry, but so what? But let me challenge you with this. Think about this. What if it's not just poetry? What if the wisdom of God really was a person? And if you got into that relationship with that person, that relationship and that person made you wise, then that person would be the ultimate guide, the ultimate mentor, the ultimate counselor. In fact, that person would be the wonderful counselor. You see, there is a person just like that. Listen to this. The Gospel of John in chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Greek word for the Word there is logos, which in Greek literature had wisdom connotations. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in the beginning was he was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In other words, Jesus was wisdom in the flesh. And Jesus in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 24 and 30 is called the wisdom of God. The Bible says that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, we're told in Colossians. You see, therefore, finding wisdom is not just doing a bunch of memory work. It's actually a love relationship. Wisdom is found in a loving relationship with Jesus. A loving relationship with Jesus. And that's why we are always talking around here about relationships and about relational environments. And you see, the first step in that relationship, the first step, therefore, in finding wisdom is to trust and to revere the Lord. For we are told in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. And we're told in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. See, the fear of the Lord simply means to take God seriously. He's not just the big guy upstairs. He's not your co-pilot. He's not co-anything. He's God. He's the Creator. He's the Holy One. He is the Righteous One. To fear the Lord means to take God seriously. And it is, the fear of the Lord that God has given to you by His grace, the knowledge of Himself. It is the fear of the Lord that God has used to teach you and to draw you to Him and to open your eyes that you might find wisdom, true wisdom. Is found in God Himself. We're not talking about the kind of fear that drives us away from the Lord, but the kind of fear that by God's grace drives us to the Lord. It's to have that growing love for God on the one side, and yet this unbelievable holy and reverential and awe for God on the other side. I like the way that J.I. Packer put it. He says this. He says, not till we have become humble and teachable, standing in awe of God's holiness and sovereignty, acknowledging our own littleness, distrusting our own thoughts, and willing to have our own minds turned upside down, only then can divine wisdom be ours. Jesus is wisdom in the flesh. Martin Luther said that Jesus is the wisdom of God to you. To you. In other words, He brings wisdom to you from heaven and He teaches it to you perfectly. And Jesus is also the wisdom of God for you. He not only teaches it, but He models it for us. Jesus shows us perfectly how to live out the life that Proverbs talks about. See, anybody can tell you about how to live, but Jesus only can show you how to live, for He did it with perfection. If you are here this morning and you are seeking God, then I encourage you, in fact, I challenge you to read through the life of Jesus Christ. Look at His words and look at His actions, and you will be shocked at meeting for the first time somebody who is perfect. And you'll say, nobody could have made this guy up because he lived the life that we should have lived. And he died the death that we should have died because we couldn't live the life that we should have lived. Jesus is the wisdom of God to you and for you, but He is also the wisdom of God with you. With you. Jesus rose again after He died on the cross, and He's alive today, and He walks with you to lead you and to guide you. And Jesus is also the wisdom of God in you. For he sent his Holy Spirit to live inside you, to bring you into all truth, to teach you, to convict you, to comfort you, and to guide you. And as we go into our study of Proverbs, this is an unbeatable combination. When you study the book of Proverbs, and yet you've got Jesus, the wisdom of God, to you and for you and with you and in you, you are going to grow more and more, not just in morality and not just in knowledge, but in wisdom, because you will grow more and more into the likeness of Jesus Christ himself. And the bottom line is simply this. Wisdom is seeing and responding to life from God's perspective. Wisdom is seeing and responding to life from God's perspective. For only God knows how things really work. Only God knows how things really are. Only God really knows what to do about it. And so if we're going to gain that kind of wisdom, then it's going to come from Him. Wisdom comes from the Lord. And wisdom, therefore, is the skill of living. It is the ability to navigate life well. It is the art of living well. And I trust that you want to grow in that skill so that you might live life well, no matter what is going on in your life right now. So let me close just briefly with an application, two of them. The story is told of Billy Graham, that he has been reading a chapter a day from the book of Proverbs every day, and he has been doing this for decades. And that slow and steady progress was made, that made him such a wise man. How can you do this? Well, we can do the same thing. I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you that during our series this summer, that you read one chapter from Proverbs a day. That's all, just one chapter from Proverbs a day for the next 9 weeks. There are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, and that means by reading one chapter a day, you can get through Proverbs twice in the next 9 weeks. Twice, one chapter a day. And I'm going to encourage you to do that. I'm going to be asking how you're doing at reading one chapter a day. And then secondly, as we close, I want to give you an opportunity to take a step of faith. If you may have been struggling with a situation in your life right now, something that has you perplexed, something that may have you tied up in knots, then I'm just going to encourage that you can stay sitting at your seats if you want to, but I'm going to encourage you to come forward and just pray. There may not be anybody down here, and that's fine. You just come, and you can kneel, or you can sit, or you can stand, and you just come before the Lord, and you just ask Him for wisdom for that situation. James chapter 1, verse 5 says this, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him." Let me encourage you to come and do that this morning. Or maybe you don't have this relationship, this personal relationship with Jesus, but you would like to have one. Come down and let me know. Or go to the Next Steps room, our welcome center, and tell somebody over there that you'd like to know more about having a relationship with Jesus Christ, that you might find wisdom. They would love to help you to find wisdom in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so would you join me now in prayer? Father God, thank you so much that you have sent your Son to be wisdom to us and for us and with us and in us. And God, as we study the book of Proverbs, we pray that you would keep us looking at it, not just as a book of knowledge or as a book of morality, but rather that we would see it for what it really is, wisdom. In a relationship with you, wisdom, that missing ingredient to so many of the decisions that perplex us in our lives. Father, may we see your word as alive because Jesus is alive.
because he is wisdom in the flesh, because he is living with us. Father, I pray that our spiritual lives would be deepened beyond what they have ever been before. And I pray that you would help us to grow in wisdom and in love as individuals and as a church, that we would do so together over the next several weeks. Father, you promised to give wisdom to those who ask. And so, Lord, we come before you this morning and we are asking for your wisdom. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.